The Israel Report with Rolene Marks.
Rolene Marks, 7:46. How are you this morning?
Well, you know, I'm up early on a Friday morning because I cannot wait to talk to you.
And so what a week, Rolene. What a week in terms of, I'm not even sure where to start, but it really is, the big story has got to be Amnesty International and now the reaction from different countries about the report.
Well, absolutely. I mean, this week has felt like the longest years. It seems like decades ago that our president made his first historical trip to the UAE. Turns out it was only just a few days ago. But yes, the fallout from this Amnesty International report is actually quite fascinating to watch. Because on the one hand, I'm seeing very, very leftist Jewish organizations like Yachad and course, if not now, in Jewish Voices for Peace, although I don't know why they call themselves Jewish Voices for Peace, seeing their co-founder is actually not Jewish. She just identifies as Jewish.
No, you are making that up, Rolene.
I'm not making that up. She says she's not Jewish, but she identifies as Jewish because that's a way to criticize the Israeli government.
That I can bash my head against. That is the most astounding news I've heard today, and we've heard a lot of astounding news. Jewish
but,
voices.
They are quite perturbed that nobody's focusing on the content of the report. Well,
there's a shock.
Joins the United States, Germany, and Australia in absolutely rejecting the report. Now, it's very unusual for countries at a government or a state level to comment on these kind of reports, but it is being roundly rejected. Everybody from even J Street to WITO to South African Friends of Israel to the Australian Zionist Federation to the Anti-Defamation League, everybody has condemned this report. And when you read the report, as we have and we've read the analysis, you will see that not only do they fabricate a definition of apartheid, which I think must be so unbelievably hurtful to the victims of apartheid. It's like redefining the Holocaust for Jews, in my opinion, and I could be wrong to many people's opinions, but that's how I see it. They have exploited and negated and made light of the suffering of a unique experience for South Africa's black community in order to push their agenda. And as you so brilliantly said to the representative of Amnesty International, a definition that can be applied to any country that is really making light of people's suffering. But if you read the report, they've also completely erased the Arab-Israeli population of Israel. They have completely negated their experience, their remarkable achievements, which many, many Arab Israelis, including the Minister of Regional Cooperation, who wouldn't be a Minister of Regional Cooperation if Israel was an apartheid state, saying, you know, Israel has its problems, but is definitely not an apartheid state.
It's just so incredible, because the irony of it is that non-Jewish Voices for Peace saying that no one's taking into account the content of the report. That was exactly the problem, and that's what I was trying to say to Amnesty International, is by throwing emotive words and these broad accusations, you actually do yourselves a disservice, because you can't focus on the issues. If they had gone through the issues and the allegations simply as a report, then that would have been the discussion. But by playing the popularist card and by trying to feed another agenda that belongs to those that want to see the end of the state of Israel, they effectively did the cause, which is hopefully, I would imagine, the Palestinian people. They actually do the cause a tremendous amount of damage, don't they?
Well, they do, because they've also completely negated any responsibility that Hamas and the Palestinian Authority have on the way they treat their citizens, but also their role to play in promoting terror. There are two brilliant, brilliant articles in the Times of Israel. One is fantastic journalism by Laser Berman, where he basically interrogates Amnesty International, and they admitted that they needed... they had to push some kind of definition of Israel, and many people wanted a definition, so they just went with apartheid. The other is the, of course, brilliant editor-in-chief of the Times of Israel, David Horovitz, who is very, very rational and analytical in the way that he approaches issues. His analysis, which is really, really worth the read. I mean, we're not saying that Israel doesn't have issues, but this label, and we can see through their intent, which is probably why a lot of the mainstream media has given this story a wide berth. They're not, you can almost see the agenda now of organizations like Amnesty International and Human Rights Watch. And we've also got the 14 Israeli organizations like B'Tselem saying, well, you know, we say it is thus and so it must be thus. But honey, hello, where are you getting your money from? You are getting your money from bigger NGOs and countries who are pushing and propagating the conflict. We even have an Israeli executive at the Israeli branch of Amnesty International.
Quite
strange
to
have an Israeli branch if we're so undemocratic, Howard. But he says, while there is undoubtedly an institutional system of discrimination against Palestinian citizens, he says, the claim that this amounts to apartheid does not enjoy a strong foundation in international law, academia, and civil society, yet alone the same claim made by Palestinians residing in other countries. I had somebody on Twitter scream at me, as they do on Twitter, read it! Read what he's saying! I'm thinking, you read what he's saying. He's saying there are issues. We're not denying it.
Of course, yeah.
But it's not apartheid, and it doesn't stand up to the scrutiny. And he says that he actually tried to give his support to Amnesty International, tried to warn him, and he says, but his viewpoints were not accepted.
Well, that correlates very much with a conversation that we had yesterday, that a listener who heard the interview, my interview with Amnesty International, contacted us, spoke to us yesterday on air, and said that he worked in an environment where they would have lunch almost every day with Amnesty International, and 90% of the conversations were about Israel. Now, considering what is really going on in the world, it is quite interesting and quite relevant that there is most clearly a complete obsession that Amnesty International has with Israel, and that can't be ignored.
Well, that interview was actually quite astounding and revealing, and one that if you are working in the field of journalism or in NGOs or human rights, you have to listen to it, because there is, while they accuse us of systemic racism, they're not looking at their systemic anti-Semitism.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, this is an organization. An organization that was taken to task for practicing systemic racism.
So, Rabbi,
I'm just astounded.
There's a magnificent, magnificent quote, and the author's unfortunately unknown to me, and that is, it's very difficult to read the label from inside the jar. And I think that's the problem with Amnesty International, is they are not reading their own label. It's very difficult when you're inside that jar and you're so caught up in your own stuff to be able to step out of it and read the label when you're inside the jar. And I really do think that is something that applies to Amnesty International quite aptly. Can we just also talk about the Ukrainian foreign minister? What is going on with Israel and Ukraine?
Oh dear, this is also a very delicate subject, because Israel has good relations with both the Ukraine and Russia, and we also have to take into account that we have Jewish communities in Ukraine and Russia. Now, Yair Lapid was talking about the situation, and he said, you know, that he's concerned that it's distracting America's attention away from the nuclear talks in Vienna, and that he doesn't see it as a war as such, but as a conflict. He used the term conflict to describe the current standoff between the Ukraine and Russia. And to be fair, while the tensions are getting more fraught every day, it's not in a stage of full-blown war. And Kornichuk, who's the Ukraine's ambassador to Israel, said, "It's a shame Mr. Lapid has not noticed the war in the center of Europe, which has lasted for 8 years already. Unfortunately, Mr. Minister reiterates the rhetoric of Russian propaganda and ignores the disturbing messages from his own strongest allies. And as for Iran, if a full-scale war breaks out in Europe, Israel will be left face-to-face with the Iranian threat." So he has been summoned to the foreign ministry for a reprimand.
It's interesting that, and I think there's validity in what he's saying. And why I say that is we get quite perturbed when, for example, the Hamas is sending rockets over, and we hear about when BBC reports of, you know, tensions and conflict, and as though this is a battle between two almost legitimate parties and not these sort of terror attacks. So I guess Israel of all places should be a little bit cautious around some of the language used.
I think that you've got a very good point. You know, we do get, as you say, perturbed that nobody seems to pay attention to the reality of the situation that we're facing from our side. Unless, of course, you know, we respond. And
That's another subject. That's a whole different level of reporting.
Of course. I think from Israel's perspective is, you know, we can't upset the Russians too much because of the massive influence that they wield in this region and that they have been able to kind of be a buffer between us and Iran in many respects. But I also hear the Ukrainians, you know, you're facing the massive might of Russia with and having to defend yourself, and most of the world is quite terrified of big Russian bear.
Absolutely, it's a very, very frightening situation, and certainly one that we will keep an eye on. Let's hope that Israel resolves this tension, because Ukraine, of course, is an ally of Israel. The long time friendship developed there, and one that I'm sure will be needed for both parties in the future. Rolene Marks, fascinating conversation. As always, I can't believe that we're already out of time. It absolutely demands me how quickly our conversations go on a Friday. Either way, it is 8:00. I'm Howard Feldman. This is your Morning Mayhem. It's 101.9 Chai FM. Good morning.